Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the January 3, 2016 session, focusing on Psalm 147, verses 12 through 20, Creatively Redemptive. I'm David Cassidy, and I'm joined for this episode by our good friends Nikki Hardiman, Daniel Glaze, and Burt Montgomery. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to our listeners as well. I don't know. I know we all have holiday traditions, but around my household, we have a New Year's tradition, and so we actually start preparing for it, you know, very quickly after Christmas. But we have friends who live in North Carolina, and our first two children were born very close together. We happened to be on church staff together at the time, and so we had a bond that was created there by having these children so close together and being on church staff together. He was the minister of music; I was associate pastor for education, and we have ever since then. It's been almost 20 years now. We have our families get together every New Year's to celebrate the coming of the new year together, and so we'll gather at one of the other houses. And even now, our adult children do everything they can to try to be there for it. And so it's just become a great celebration of our lives, even though, you know, we're so far apart much of the year. But looking ahead to what's new and celebrating the family that we formed just as friends. Mm. I'm curious if you have any traditions for New Year.
Our family, I don't know that we have any traditions other than not staying up to midnight, but actually, you know, my none of us are really night owls. So my daughter Ashley is notorious for she loves to go to bed early and get up early, and so she's always has. And so we will celebrate. You know, usually you can catch it on the television. We will celebrate when New Year's happens in London. You know, that's, we'll celebrate it and we'll, you know, do the streamers and the, hey, Happy New Year kind of stuff when it happens in London, and then we go to bed.
It's always a New Year somewhere.
That's right.
I'm much in line with you, Daniel. We go to bed. Generally, we pour some sparkling grape juice to share with our kids, and because they like having the fancy glasses. So we might do something like that. But yeah, right now it's, sleep is precious. So maybe one day when they're a little older, actually, it could happen this year. We might let them stay up this year. So maybe we'll have a new one to talk about.
No, we really don't do anything special for New Year's Eve anymore. I mean, the kids are grown, so go to bed and wake up and watch football.
There you go.
All right. Well, Bert, we've got a psalm this time. Can you give us an introduction?
Well, let's start by praising the Lord. It's good and it's right to sing praises to God. And that's what Psalm 147 is all about. In this psalm, God's work in the world is celebrated. And it's given to us as our proper response to God is to praise God. We're dealing specifically with the second half of Psalm 147, verses 12 through 20. But it's important to take the whole thing. I mean, it's just 20 verses, so it's not that long. Taking the first half of it together, too, and holding it all together in context, the emphasis in this psalm is that God is involved with this world. God is the creator of all things in the world. God determines the number of stars. He gives them names. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares the rain for the earth. He makes the grass grow on the hills. But not only is God the creator of all things in the world, at the same time, God is the healer of all the things, of all the broken things in the world. God gathers the outcast. God lifts up the downtrodden. God heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. And then beginning in verse 12, again, we're called upon to praise the Lord. Why? Because the God who is the creator of all that is gets involved with the world. Because the God who is the creator of all that is gets involved with us. And to the people of Israel, when they would have been hearing this, when they would have been reciting this, when they would have been singing this, because remember the Psalms were hymns, they are recognizing and giving thanks for what God has done for them as a people. And it's kind of a huge panoramic picture that the psalmist paints in just 20 short verses. And in fact, in contemporary psychiatric terms, we might say that the psalmist has attention deficit disorder because he jumps all over the place and listing all these unrelated things together. And one commentary admits that that's what makes this psalm attractive, is its spontaneity. It's fast-paced. It's not always logical in the way it moves from one thing to another, describing what God has done and what God is doing. Hey, as an adult with ADD, I can relate. Because when I get excited about stuff, I start firing stuff that everybody thinks makes no sense. But hey, to me, it all comes together as one unified theme. And that's what the psalmist does. He brings it all back together with the only response that we can have, awesome wonder, that God is involved with us. And at this time of the year, we've just spent looking back at the year that was and all the things that have happened and looking ahead into the new year of things we hope to happen, it's a good time to give thanks at all the wide variety of things that have happened. And as the psalmist would closes at Psalm 147, hallelujah indeed, praise the Lord.
Bert, I just really like the way that you delivered your introduction. I think that you embodied the text in the way that you talked about it. And for me, that really connects to how I experience creativity personally. It kind of bubbles up and out. And it's just kind of this, it when it works, when I kind of get in a creative groove, it feels like it just, it kind of comes bubbling up and out and there's too much to be contained. And I think that fits with how I personally think about God's creativity in the world. I think that God's creativity in creating this world and caring for us bubbles out of who God is, that it is God can't help but do the things that God does as God interacts with us and cares for us and provides for us and heals us and leads us and guides us. It is the ultimate picture of creativity. And, you know, when you look at the text and it says, he heals the brokenhearted. I mean, brokenhearted, when we think about that, a lot of times I think that we can't even imagine how you would begin to do that. But God is so full of newness and creativity and imagination that that's just what God does, that God simply interacts with us. And I think that there are times when it's easy for us to see that happening in the world. And I think there are times when it's hard for us to see that happening in the world. But I wonder if what you're talking about, the praise piece, that when we do that consistently, does that help open our eyes to being able to see where God is working in us and around us and among us?
Nikki, when you talked about consistently, you're talking about the response on our part of praise for God's goodness in our lives? Is that where you were going with that?
Yeah.
Well, that reminds me, you know, that beautiful part of 1 Thessalonians, I think it is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It is God's desire that we are a thankful, grateful, rejoicing people. It's God's desire to bind our wounds, to hold us close. We don't necessarily give thanks for all the heartache, but even in the midst of it, before it, during it, or after it, we find reason to give thanks. And I think, somewhat paradoxically, giving thanks opens our eyes to more reasons to give thanks and praise. And this, the psalmist models it for us here. He's just, someone, one of you said bubbly or giddy. He's bubbling over with it, and it's beautiful.
I'm fascinated by this image of God as a creative being. I mean, we all are comfortable with and grow up even with the idea, you know, God created the world. But to see God as this creative being in the sense that it's not just a creative manager, you know, a creative administrator of the universe, but rather is, yeah. I mean, what did it mean to think of God as an artist, you know, as one whose identity is tied up in the creative work, new combinations and new ways of thinking. I mean, this fascination with newness, I don't know. It's an interesting image because when I'm fascinated by art anyway. And, you know, if you get me near an art museum, I'm there because I'm fascinated by the ability to take what in some ways is a fixed set, right? We have colors, we have shape, we have form, texture, but the unbelievable variety with which those could be put together to express emotion, to express ideas, to just provoke. I mean, it's really amazing. And to think of God, I guess, as an artist. I mean, is that something the psalm is calling us to do?
Yeah, I think so, David. I think a deeply involved in the world artist. I like the way you put it. You know, God is not just this, you know, chief administrator of the world.
Thank goodness.
God didn't just create the world and all that is in it, but it, you know, as verse 8, he prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. Didn't just create animals, but he gives to the animals their food. And this, what we have here is an intimately involved God, so far removed from the deist vision of God, just sort of creating the world, then stepping back, and even more so than just a, well, God loves and is concerned for the world. But when I read this, I see God with God's hands in the grass, or stooping low with a cupped hand to give food to animals. It's beautiful imagery.
It is, and it's the imagery that it is still, the creative aspect is still happening. It's not, you know, to carry on with what you were saying, Daniel, it's not that he created at one point and then it was finished, and now he's trying to fix everything that's broken. Because I think that's the way a lot of us have this idea that he created everything once, and then it's over with, and then we've broken it, and he's trying to fix it. But that it's like in the New Testament, the idea of a making with clay, a potter, that he's always still creating and forming. And it's almost like when, you know, what we think is a mistake, you know, the painter finds a way to work it into something new. And so the act of creation is still going on. I think that's incredible to think about.
And what does it mean if, you know, while we're talking about creation, if we are creating the image of our Creator, is part of this our job as well? Is there something deeply spiritual about tapping into our own God-given creativity? By the way, my answer is yes. that was a subject of my doctoral work, but so a resounding yes. Nikki, I think I interrupted you.
No, you didn't. Well, I agree. I think that absolutely, I mean, this kind of taps into what we were talking about last week with imagination and vision and dreaming. And I think, yes, absolutely, God created us to be creative beings, to participate in the creative, redemptive work of God in the world. What you saw, whenever I talk to people about Faith Element, they want to know kind of the tech part of it. So you were responding to what the quizzical look you saw on my face. And really, it was what Bert said was really working on me. It was this idea that we do act as if God had this moment of creating and then we broke it. And so now God is about the work of fixing what we broke. Gosh, it's true, I think, for so many of us. And it's really sad. And I think that it is a helpful corrective to say, God is not simply going around trying to, you know, super glue back together the things that we have broken in this world, but that we are a painting that is still wet, that can still be adjusted and moved. Bless my oldest child who just lives into her birth order. She is a true perfectionist. And, you know, she was learning to write her letters, and the little letter G, I just thought was going to kill us. She could not get it right. And one day she was working on it, and she would try to write it, and then she would crumble up the paper and throw it on the ground. And then she'd try again, and she would crumble up the paper and throw it on the ground. And thank God that God doesn't crumble us up and throw us on the ground, but that God continues to paint and mold. And, you know, it's not like we've been put in the fire and cast in a way that can't be molded anymore. I think that's what you saw on my face. What Bert said was really very helpful. And I think a really important thing for us to think about, that the paint's still wet.
Yeah. And when you're saying that, Nikki, it just occurred to me, I never thought of this verse this way before, but the verse we've all grown up hearing, Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for good for those who are called according, who love Him and called according to His purpose. That's exactly it. That God is, no matter what happens, God is still working it all together for good.
Which means that we are a part of the process.
Yes.
So, like, what we put into this world, God works with to create something redemptive and wonderful. And so that's how we get to be a part of this process. And I just think there's so much, there's healing and hope in recognizing that about ourselves. I don't think a lot of us think of ourselves as people who create. I mean, if you're not naturally an artist in the way that we think of artists in this world, we kind of categorize, but you're an artist or you're not. And I just think that's wrong. I think that we are all a part, and we all have something creative to put into this world. Sometimes creation that we put into the world is managing or whatever it is, but we are participating.
Yeah.
And what goes on in this world.
You know, I mentioned, Nikki, this was subject of part of my doctoral work, and I did this within the context of my own congregation here in northeastern North Carolina. Worked on some creativity and worship project, and in doing some of the education for that, we talked about artistry and creativity, and we discussed that. You know, like you said, we often categorize artists in their own category. Artists are special kind of people. And I said, no, we're all special kind of artists. We all have certain ways that we are able to interpret the world. And this one dear saint who has since moved away to live in a nursing home, came up to me and said, you know, when you started, I thought there is no way, I'm not an artist. I can't, you know, even my stick figures look sad. Said, I'm not creative in the least. She said, but then the thought hit me, you know, I raised 4 children and they all are wonderful people. And I had a hot, nutritious meal on the table every evening on a shoestring budget. She said, that takes creativity. I said, yeah. You daggone right, that takes creativity.
Yes, absolutely.
We all, now I took us a little bit distant here, but we are all creative beings, and we all participate in God's creatively redemptive work in the world.
Okay, I don't really know how to talk about what I'm thinking about. You all are teasing me a little bit about the funny faces that I make. But when we're talking about this, and the truth is, I have been thinking a lot about, it's helping me put into categories things I've been thinking about and what I've been watching around me, just kind of observing in some of the churches that I connect with, and conversations that I'm having with friends, and this feeling that these are not the words that people are using, but it does seem to me that there's this feeling that things are just kind of ho-hum, that we are maintaining a status quo, just getting done what has to be done. And it occurs to me that this conversation we're having is something that's desperately needed in our churches and in our lives, but, you know, we connect with churches here at Faith Element. And so I think about it in the context of the church, that definitely we need to access our own creativity. And I wonder if we do that by taking time to remember God's creativity. I think that we don't talk about that very often. I can't remember the last time I heard a sermon preached on the creativity of God or the artistry of God. It seems, I think that people might feel like it lacked depth, that it was a feel-good kind of thing to talk about, maybe an easy sermon to preach. But the truth is, creativity and artistry and creation in general is one of the most difficult things to do in the world. It leaves you vulnerable. It leaves you open to criticism. And God's creative acts in the world, I think, are really the deepest expression of love that God gives us, because creation leaves you vulnerable. It leaves you you know, people don't like to think about God as vulnerable. It doesn't really stress me out a whole lot to think about that, because I equate that with love. I'm kind of spinning around now a little bit like our psalm, talking about lots of different things that come together, Bert. But I think that this is something we need right now. So that's what I've got spinning around.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bert.
Okay. You know, Nikki, you hit on something, because so many of us have come from a tradition in which we've been taught that, you know, there's God, and there's us. And so God tells us things, and we do things. And that's our response. And the idea of God being creative, as you've mentioned, and you even acknowledge, you even grabbed what you were saying, that God, creativity makes us vulnerable and open to criticism, that God becomes vulnerable and open to criticism. I mean, that's the incarnation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we don't want that. We can't have that. We'd rather everything to be cut and dried, and here's what God said, now we just do it or we don't do it, and then we pay the punishment. And again, it kind of goes back to the idea we think God created everything, put it in place, and then we just screwed it all up, and now we're just waiting for judgment. That there's no ongoing creativity anymore. I mean, it's, again, this is my ADD coming in. It's all playing. It's all coming back together. Everything we've talked about is it's beginning to gel here with God being creative.
It's fascinating, this idea of the connection between creativity and vulnerability. And that's the way God, if God wanted to, God could have created a perfect world where it's certainly the human aspects of his creation didn't have free will and always did the right thing. But God intentionally created us as free beings to both choose God and reject God. And that aspect of creation is, I think, causes incredible vulnerability. I can't imagine what it would feel like to put heart and soul into creation and then only to have it turn on you in some respects. I mean, that puts God in an incredibly vulnerable spot. But again, in God's artistry, that's the way it was intended.
Yeah, I mean, I think creativity is when we create something, it innately has some part of us in it, right? I mean, we pour ourselves into something that we create. And that's why it's so difficult to show sometimes the things we create to others, because like you say, it's personal. It's a piece of me I'm showing. Look what I did. And for God, you know, yes, it's a very self-revealing kind of thing to create in front of us. But I think it's also, it's got a lot of unpredictability. And sometimes I think we have too much hesitancy to talk about God being unpredictable. But part of creativity is that it is not going to fit all the little boxes our brains have set up for the world. Mm. That it jumbles them up in new ways, and it puts things together in unique fashion. And out of it, we get new recipes, and we get new ways of thinking and doing things and seeing and behaving. And, you know, God, I mean, just the Advent story we just finished looking at. I mean, God chose, who would have predicted that, well, okay, God's going to change the world by coming among us as a baby. I mean, that's crazy unpredictable, right?
Yes, crazy. Yes, absolutely.
And of all the time,
we've never done it that way before. Sorry.
Exactly. So I don't know. I guess I have a lot of hope, because the truth is, God is, if that's part of who God is still very much creating, even if we're not paying attention. And maybe sometimes what we're called to do is to stop looking in the same place and instead start looking around for those places where God is at work and being creative today that we may not be noticing. And if we figure it out, we're, oh gosh, God's at work over here, we could join in.
I kind of feel the need to kind of acknowledge, all four of us said something about the vulnerability of God. And I used that at a church one time, and I got a whole lot of pushback. People were super uncomfortable with it. And so I kind of want to say that vulnerability is not bad. That actually it's really, really wonderful. It's scary for us because we don't know what's going to happen with it. And I don't know if it was scary for God or not. I mean, I don't know how God feels about that. But I don't think that vulnerability is an act of weakness or is it's a bad thing. It makes us feel uncomfortable. But I also think if you love something, you are vulnerable.
If you love someone.
If you love someone.
You have experienced vulnerability.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you have ever fallen in love, like think about, you know, young puppy love, you really never do feel more vulnerable probably than that's that first experience of that. Or when a parent dies and that you have that loss and you love the parent so much, you know that you are vulnerable. And then children or friends or a spouse, being vulnerable to someone is the ultimate act of love. And yes, the incarnation, Jesus was completely vulnerable, so vulnerable that he died. He was killed. He was murdered because he let himself become so vulnerable to us. And so I don't want people to kind of shut out this conversation because it's so uncomfortable to think about God being vulnerable. I think that's really important.
Our regular listeners will remember this, but I don't recall exactly when it was. But Nikki, you and somebody, I think it was a guest we had on this podcast, we're talking about Brené Brown.
Mm-hmm.
She's got an incredible
love
book,
Brené Brown.
Power of Vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great TED Talks, and you can find them on YouTube.
Yeah.
But she talks about in our culture, we associate vulnerability with uncertainty, fear, shame. But she says, I love this, we often lose sight of the fact that vulnerability is also the birthplace of joy, belonging, creativity, authenticity, and love. And if that doesn't describe God's the way God feels about us, I don't know what does. She talks about when dropping the armor. Vulnerability is about dropping the armor and opening ourselves up to experiences that bring richness and purpose and meaning to our lives. It's not at all weakness. In fact, to be vulnerable takes a healthy amount of courage.
Absolutely. Maybe we should invite Brené Brown to come and talk on our podcast.
Oh, man. She can have my spot.
Well, if I could take that and do one of my ADD jumps for a minute, I guarantee it's going to make sense to what we're saying. But this idea of vulnerability, this idea of sense of weakness, of lack of control, that we don't like that. And we don't like to think that God is like that. At the same time, we like to think that God is certain and that we can be certain that what God is doing for us, that maybe others aren't getting it. And what I mean, let me follow up with that. The psalmist, at the last verse of this psalm, some have described this as exceptionalism or that the idea that the psalmist believes that the Israelite people are God's most favorite above everybody else on the earth, which, of course, throughout the scriptures we see at different times. They certainly sense that. But verse 20 says, God has not dealt with like this, all the stuff we've been talking about. God hasn't done this for anybody else, for any other nation, because they don't know who he is. They don't know his commands. They don't keep his ordinances. This is just for us. Praise the Lord. And I think we get that sense, and I think we see a lot of that certainty in some of our Christian conversations today that we're listening to politically in our country. We need God to be certain, and we need to be certain that God is for us, kind of a thing. But as we see the larger story of the scriptures, God does love. And God is at work with others far outside the reach of Israel. And we see it time and time again in the Hebrew scriptures or our Old Testament. We see it time and time again in our New Testament that God is unpredictable, that God does not fit in any box. Y'all mentioned we like things in a box, neatly understood. And that's part of the creative aspect of God, that as soon as we think we've got it, God's off doing something else completely. I love the idea of the United Church of Christ has a statement that says God is still speaking. And I love that idea. And that comes right back to everything we talked about, that this creative process is still going on. And it's happening when we can't imagine beyond our boxes, coloring outside the lines, when we get too rigid and less creative. God's out there still being creative and still being vulnerable and still being open to criticism. And we're invited to join in, which makes us vulnerable and open to criticism.
Well, thank you guys for another really great conversation. I know you have you've helped me think differently about God during this conversation. But more than that, I have to say there's a sense of looking forward to tomorrow because God is up to something. And if we pay attention, we might just be able to see it and jump in. So I hope we'll each catch a glimpse tomorrow and the next day. Good to talk to you. I look forward to next time.
Okay, sounds good.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank y'all.
Good night. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Find more information about this podcast, as well as videos and teaching resources for this session, at faithelement.net. Subscribe to the Faith Element podcast on iTunes. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.